Blog Talk Radio.
The views and opinions expressed by the host on TKS Radio does not necessarily reflect on those of the entire TKS Radio Broadcasting Network. Any statements made, expressed, or opinions given represent those of the personal opinions of the host alone. Listener discretion is advised.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You're listening to the KS Show on TKS Radio, the People's Network. Call in now, 619-924-0814.
Welcome, welcome, welcome everyone to the KS Show on our special Sunday show. I want to start off with giving an apology to anyone who came in on Wednesday and we weren't able to do the show. We had some hiccups that didn't quite straighten out until a little later out in the night, but we are here now and we are here to give you a great interview with two great people who are promoting their products. So, with that, I want to make sure that you are live with me now on the TKS Radio, the People's Network. It's facebook.com/the KS Show. So I am broadcasting live. And so you can hear what's going on, you know, behind the scenes. So I'm kind of doing a little something new for ourselves here. And you can also contact us on facebook.com/the KS Show. And you can message us. Send posts, do whatever you like. Just, you know, contact us, stay in contact with us. That's what we like to do. We're also on Twitter and we're also on Instagram. So we are everywhere you are, definitely. So today I want to start off, well, tonight I want to start off with Christopher Everett. And he has a very good documentary called Wilmington on Fire. And let me give you a little synopsis before he gets on air here with us. Wilmington on Fire is the chronicles of the bloody attack on African-American community. And an unseated elected officials in a port city of Wilmington, North Carolina, November 10th of 1898. The massacre was the springboard for the white supremacy movement and Jim Crow segregation throughout the state of North Carolina and the American South. Now, that's just a little bit of it. That doesn't even scratch the surface on what this documentary is about. It also has a soundtrack with it. We're going to play one song also off of that soundtrack so you can get a little bit more information about what's going on with just the project alone. And then we're going to, of course, ask some questions and he's going to fill us in on what's going on too. So without further ado, let me introduce Christopher Everett to the KS Show. How are you, Christopher?
Hey, how's it going?
Good, good. Can you hear me today?
Yes, I can hear you loud and clear.
Good. Because we definitely had some issues on Wednesday.
Yeah.
And I want to apologize for that. I'm very, very sorry
all right.
for that.
It's all right.
Yeah, we got it up and going here. So how are you tonight?
I'm doing well. Just, you know, just kind of taking a break this weekend. And, you know, I got a couple of film screenings coming up for the documentary
awesome.
Next month. So I'm just... You know, just trying to rest for the weekend and just gear up for some promotion this week.
That's great. That's great to hear. You know, I also just wanted to know, how did you get started with this? What brought on Wilmington on Fire?
Well, I would say I was living in Atlanta back in 2008, and I did a small documentary project about this historical black boarding and day school in my hometown of Laurinburg, North Carolina, called the Laurinburg Institute. And the school's been open since about 1904. And I did the documentary project about the school, the history of it. And when I was doing some research, you know, the guy who runs the school now, his grandparents started the school back in 1904. And he was telling me all these stories about how people didn't want to come to North Carolina back then. Just the racial climate was real heavy. And so I was like, okay, what was going on in North Carolina back in those times? And then I started researching and kept running into what happened in 1898. And then I started researching that, and it just reminded me of the movie I saw years ago when I was a kid called Rosewood.
Yeah.
And it reminded me of other things like the Tulsa Massacre and all those things. So I'm like, wow, why didn't I ever hear about this? So after I finished that project for the school, I decided right then that I wanted to do this, you know, as a feature-length project and finally do my own full-length project. And I just saw that a few people wrote, you know, have written books on it, but no one's ever done like a actual in-depth film on it. So I wanted to be the first to take the task to do it. And it took about 4 years to complete the task. But, you know, here we are today.
Yeah. And very good job, you know, in 4 years, because I don't think you left out one thing. And, you know, when I was watching it, I was like, if you did leave out something, I definitely didn't feel like I left the documentary without knowing some things. So,
but it's still more to the story. Next year, I'll be starting the second one. I'm going to do one more part. Wilmington 05, so there's still more to the story that I didn't get to put in, you know, so
that's
I'll just close
what's
it up. You know, to really, you know, show the full spectrum of everything. So we're going to probably start filming that probably around the springtime of next year.
Oh, I can't wait. Oh, you really threw something on me with that one. I can't wait. I can't wait. Because my next question was, like, what would be the big surprise for somebody of an outsider of that? And you definitely just hit me with that. That's a surprise. Definitely. Oh, man. What was the toughest thing about getting this project done?
Well, I would say the toughest thing was really, it was the money. Because when I first started doing this thing, when I first put this thing together, I was living in Atlanta during the time. It was like 2010. And then I suddenly got laid off from my job. You know, then I had to move back to North Carolina. But I made a decision. I said, okay, I can just find another job, get an apartment, stack up some more bills, or I can do this documentary that I was thinking about doing called Wilmington on Fire.
Yeah.
And move back to Laurinburg and stay with my grandparents from rent-free, use my unemployment and get that going. And that's what I did. I did crowdfunding, you know, used my own money, my own savings. You know, it took about 2 years to film everything. And then after that, I struggled with other things, you know, in and out of jobs, getting laid off and stuff like that, pretty much using all my money to, you know, get to a certain point. But it wasn't until, I would say, the winter of 2014, where I had an anonymous email from a guy. He was like the business manager of this NBA player. I thought it was somebody playing around. You know. So the guy's business manager hit me up, and he was asking for a DVD, saying that the guy he represents, who's in the NBA, has been following the project for a couple of years now and just wanted to get a DVD to see if it was out. I said, the film's not out. I need like a certain amount of money to finish post-production. And he said, well, if that's all you need, we might can help you out. So that's how I got the money to finish up the film, was through, you know, someone who plays in the NBA. He doesn't really like me to, you know, tell his name all out
fine.
There. So he kind of likes to stay on the low.
Yeah,
but that's pretty much been the journey, just the money, get the money together. But I stayed with it. And then at the end, someone that I didn't expect, you know, looked out for me to finish it.
Wow, that's awesome and a blessing, definitely, because a lot of people don't have that type of thing coming into their lives, just trying to do the same thing that you're doing, and that's a blessing. Wow, that's good stuff there. So what advice can you give to people who want to make a documentary like you?
Well, I tell anybody, who people that are interested in doing documentaries, first, you want to find a good story. You know, story is everything. You know, and also finding stories isn't that hard. You can just, it doesn't matter what the biggest city you live in, it doesn't matter the size of the city, it doesn't matter how small the town is. Everybody got a story, especially from the African American community. If you're in a town right now, there's some Black history in that town or city. You know, so you just got to look for it. You know, whether it's through older folks, libraries, museums, and everything. There's stories all around us. And that's the first thing. Find a good story, stick with it, and run with it. Also, study film. You really, really got to study this game, study the craft of it, take it serious, watch as many movies as possible, and really appreciate the artistic, you know, part of it. And also, and the third thing I would say, you know, you got to put your own money up. You got to believe in yourself. Because if you don't believe in yourself, no one else will. So if you got some money to put into it, put it into it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Because once you get it going, then that's when people will get on board. Because that's what I did, and I saw that. When I put up my own money, my unemployment and savings, and started filming stuff and putting footage out there, that's when a lot of people got on board and wanted to get involved and help out
right.
and trip. So I think those are the three things for anybody who wants to be a documentary filmmaker is put your money up, put your own money into it at first, find a good story, stick with it, and just really, really study film. And you don't have to go to school for that. You can get books. You can go on YouTube, you know, and type in whatever you want to know about cinematography, sound, lighting, et cetera.
Exactly. I like that. You're right. If you don't have a passion for your own project, how can someone else have a passion for it? I'm with you on that one. So what was the best thing that happened to you during this shooting? What something personal from your aspect that really caught you? Not only you said, okay, yeah, I have a passion for it, but not only was the passion there, but something that said that you related to as Christopher. What was it?
I would say just accomplishing the goal of getting the project done. That was one. I never thought that I could even, you know, make a film this good. You know what I'm saying? Like, because I was I've worked on a few projects before, but it was mostly like assisting directors and assisting producers and doing a little small stuff. This is my first time being hands-on in control of the whole project from start to finish. And also just, you know, meeting some incredible people along the way. I've worked with some talented cinematographers, graphic artists, music composers, everything. Along this journey. And plus just the people, the knowledge I've learned just interviewing, you know, the interview subjects, from Professor William Darity to Dr. Umar Johnson, a whole bunch of people that, you know, I learned so much just interviewing these people over those past couple of years. It's more stuff that I even learned in college. you know, so it's like going to college for free in a way. So I think those were the things that really that I really got the most out of, those things right there.
Okay.
But especially of just getting a lot of this knowledge, because a lot of stuff we didn't even get to use in the film. And it was just great just to hear their perspective, their research, and all those things, you know, sitting there filming them for, you know, like 4 hours and just getting all that knowledge. Even my camera guys, they were saying the same thing. A lot of people that worked with me on this project, they always say that this is one of their best projects. And these guys have worked on big projects, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
They all mention, whenever they do interviews or whatever, they all mention, you know, Wilmington on Fire is probably their most funnest and best project because of the knowledge and information that we were getting from all those people while we filmed.
Yeah, I can imagine, because they got a lot more than the people who are actually just watching the documentary. And if that says anything, I'm telling you, people got to get this documentary. I was even talking to my father about it, and I was like, because he's a historian, self-made historian in itself. And, you know, he was born and raised in the South in Florida. And, you know, he tells me a lot of stories about segregation and, you know, having to look down when the white man is walking down the street type thing, you know. And it's sad to hear the stories. They'll come out of nowhere. He'll be watching something on TV and be like, yeah, I remember when I had to do that. You know, it's like, really? You know, and my dad is only 59, you know. So it's like, it's not too long ago.
It's not that long ago. You look at it, like, the last civil rights bill that was passed was like 1968, and then a lot of places didn't really fully integrate until like the 70s.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like that wasn't that long ago at all.
Yeah. So, yeah, I was telling him about it, and I told him I definitely want to make sure I get this from you so he can see it. I told him it's not that long, and you won't, you know, I'll tell you, you won't even know that this hour and a half went by, because I watched it and was like, it's over? No. You know,
and I want to tell your listeners that November 10th, releasing the DVD, the documentary will be available on DVD plus digital download on November 10th. Of this year. And the reason why I'm doing November 10th is because that's the actual anniversary of the massacre The massacre actually went down on November 10th, 1898. So I wanted to release the film digitally and on DVD, you know, specifically on that date.
We're definitely getting that. Definitely getting that, you know. I'm kind of going off the subject a little bit, but not too much. What do you feel is missing in entertainment today?
Just in general or from the black perspective?
Let's do both.
All right. When I say in general in entertainment, I guess the hunger and drive because – and I would say that because you notice – you first see entertainers, whether they stand-up comedians, musicians, actors, filmmakers, when they first kind of get on the scene, that's when you usually see their best material. You know what I'm saying? But once it's like once they start making all this money, which is nothing wrong with that at all. You know, we all want to be successful and, you know, and make a decent living for ourselves. But I noticed that when it's just about the money, you know, the art suffers in a way.
Okay.
Because you're not around the same people no more. You don't see those. You don't have those same experiences. Therefore, you can't tell those same stories. Whether you're a musician, writer, filmmaker, comedian. You know, you're living in the hills now, in a mansion. You know what I'm saying? With a whole bunch of white folks. You know, you're not in the hood no more. You're not in the spots where you originally got your best material from, your source material. You know, from the people. And I think a lot of times, you know, that goes missing a lot of times. So, I don't know. You know, it might happen to me. You know what I'm saying? You know, I become big. Now, if it does, you know, I want y'all to check me on it. You know what I'm saying? But I think that's really what it is. And also, I think from the black perspective, you know, black artistry, black, you know, entertainment, I just think we just need a more diverse, you know, I think we need more diversity in regards to, like, subject matter. You know, everything doesn't have to be black power all the time. Everything doesn't have to be the Tyler Perry stuff all the time. You know what I'm saying? I think we need a good balance. Because you know, you got some black people out here who are nerds and geeks who want to see some black sci-fi movie or some black comic book movies or black horror movies, you know, black action. I think we can do it all because we're some very talented people. But I think us as a people, we need to just embrace that all those diversities within our communities. That's something that I'm trying to do as well because I have a few other projects that I have going on, like I'm doing an experimental vampire film soon as well.
Really?
So I'll be doing things like that, plus the stuff like Wilmington on Fire and those things as well. So
yeah. I was just going to ask you, what do you have, you know, coming up in the future? And you just said it.
I got the experimental vampire film. I'll make the announcement probably at the North Carolina Black Film Festival, which I got coming up in Wilmington. September 15th through 18th, I'm going to make the announcement there about my next couple of projects, which is the experimental vampire film plus Wilmington on Fire 2.
Nice. I can't wait to, I'm going to be in the Bahamas then for my birthday, but I'll definitely
Let me ask
sure
you this.
I'll
what did you think of the soundtrack?
The soundtrack is awesome. I was even listening to some of the rest because obviously I couldn't listen to the whole thing. I was listening to the last half of it about 5 o'clock today, and I was like, oh my God, this is just amazing because it touches on obviously the Wilmington on Fire, but it also just touches on just general struggle of blacks, period.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, you can't get, I was just. As you can see, I'm speechless. And the one thing, it was one, actually, let me pull it up right quick, if you don't mind. It was either right after the song, The Why. It was White Supremacy. I think it was just kind of like an intro into something.
Oh, yeah, it was like a spoken word joint. But yeah, Mari Fox did it,
You know, I'm a poetry girl. I love poetry. I'm a poet myself. Yeah. So that just really grabbed me. And I was like, wait, go back. Because I was listening to it as I was getting ready for the show. And I was like, wait a minute. Hold on. Let me go back to that. And if you don't mind, would you mind me playing this for a second?
Sure, play it. Go ahead.
Thank you. If we can get that going.
Exertion of your calamity. Your inability to stop us makes it your fault. Living while black is crime enough, but leading the vainglorious G-O-V-T makes the whites of our eyes notoriously V-I-G. And you got One more chance to resign and send our scarcity to Zion. Red bloodshed led by the bluest eyes. You were ready to die when you were ready to vote. And eyes, not European eyes. Why? And you can't be why unless you are against the black opposition. No mirrors and privilege. Reflection is projection. Thou shalt not kill is a commandment, but I'm a Christian. Let the church say, amen. A community meeting for the cool to be beating is held at the church where the imperial wizard will be greeting, saying, hey, men, don't shoot. Don't shoot. Till you see the whites of their eyes or the blacks of their skin. If killing them is wrong, I don't want to be right. But how can I be wrong when the South was right and eyes wide?
Oh man, I'm telling you.
Yeah, that's my man. That was my guy, Amari Fox. He's a teacher, activist, and a spoken word artist out of Columbia, South Carolina. And the girl that's doing the hook, you know, she's an independent singer and radio host out in Charlotte, North Carolina. Her name's Kia Woods. And my boy Sean, he pretty much is like my soundtrack producer for any project I do. And he produced that record. We just recorded for the soundtrack two of those records that Amari did, like that one. I think the other one was like Using Politics or something. And we actually got like 20 records that we did. We just chose two for this one. So we're going to use the other ones that we didn't put on this soundtrack for the next one. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So he brought a lot of, you know, good records to the table.
Oh man, I played it three times. It was like I was just so intrigued by it, you know, it just brought me in. It was, you know, and again with me being a poet, it kind of, you know, pulled at my heartstrings, of course. So definitely good job, great job, guys. So all the people you mentioned, I'm telling you, you guys did a great job on this documentary and the soundtrack. The last thing I want to know is how important is social media for promoting your project?
Oh, social media is big. It's like if you don't have social media and really using it, if you're just any type of artist, whether you're a musician, writer, whatever, filmmaker, then you're not going to go anywhere because social media is the key. It's very important. I'm always on social media. That's how I actually built my following up over the past 4 years.
Okay.
Through social media. So, and I know a lot of filmmakers that don't even use social media. They say, oh, I ain't got time. I'm like, what do you mean you ain't got time? Because this is how you're going to reach an audience and build an audience. You know, because you don't have the luxury of being Tyler Perry or Oprah. You don't have hundreds of millions of dollars that you can spend on advertising and have all these commercials on TV playing during the Super Bowl and all that. You ain't got that. But the internet has made the game, you know, open. You know what I'm saying? So, and I think filmmakers really need to utilize it. And also, I'm almost done with my book. I'm actually doing a book on, like, social media and marketing for, like, documentary filmmakers and also independent film distribution. So a book of that is coming real soon. Plus, I'll be doing like little webinars as well to kind of show people. See, a lot of people, you have a lot of filmmakers out there who they know how to make a good film, but they don't know how to get the audience to see the film. You know, filmmaking is 50% making the film, another 50% is getting the film seen to an audience. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So a lot of times people are, you know, they don't have the whole 100%. So that's what my webinars and my book is going to show you how to get to that 100% and just be a successful filmmaker and successful artist all around. So
That's what's up. I definitely want to applaud you for everything that you've done and just bringing Wilmington on Fire out and making it public. Definitely going to be supporting you with your books, your webinars, your second part of Wilmington, and your soundtrack, and you have some. Oh, and your vampire project.
Yeah.
I salute you. You're a man with a handful of things that you are going to be doing, and I will support you. Just make sure you let me know. You tag me in whatever it is, because we don't have as much support as we should in a lot of projects that we do. And I want to let you know that I'm definitely someone that's going to be supporting you as a fan, definitely.
Thanks. I appreciate it. I just want to let your listeners know, like, if you got any listeners that are in North Carolina, I got 3 screenings coming up in September. I got I'll be at the Film Spark Film Festival in Cary, North Carolina, on September 15th. And you can just go to filmspark.com, get info on that. I'll also be showing the film at the North Carolina Black Film Festival in Wilmington, North Carolina. It will be between September 15th and 18th. Just go to the blackartsalliance.org, and you can get all the info and ticket information for that. And also I'll be doing another screening September 24th, Fayetteville, North Carolina. And people can just go to wilmingtononfire.com for info on that.
Okay, definitely. And is all the information you just gave us on Wilmington on Fire or not? Because if not, just send it to me and I'll make sure I get it out through
definitely,
the
I'll
page.
Definitely, I'll send it all to you. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
But
great,
they can
great,
also
great.
Go, like, they're, all the stuff I'll send you is the stuff that's on the Facebook page, facebook.com/Wilmington on Fire. It got everything on there, the upcoming screenings, soundtrack link, trailers, the whole nine. So if people out there want to get more info, hit me up or check out when the next screening going to be or some of the songs you was talking about on the soundtrack, just go to facebook.com/Wilmington on Fire.
Yeah, that's what's up. Thank you so much for joining me and coming back and promoting your project here. I love it. Speaking of songs, we're going to play The Way on the Way on your way out of here. So have a great rest of the weekend. Relax, and because you got a lot coming up in the next couple months.
Yeah.
So you do your thing.
But thanks again for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Of course, of course. Everybody, I want you to listen up here. We're going to be playing The Way off the soundtrack of Wilmington on Fire. Make sure you get this November 10th. It's the anniversary of the Wilmington on Fire, the Wilmington, North Carolina massacre. So make sure you get this November 10th. We're going to keep posting that and sending out all of our social media, because as we just talked about, that's what it's all about. You'll hear about it. You'll see about it. Mr. Christopher Everett, thank you for joining us. And here we go. We're going to play The Way off Wilmington on Fire soundtrack. We'll be right back.
Listening to TKS Radio, the People's Network. Real people, real topics, real conversation. Hit us up on Facebook at facebook.com/TheKS Show or follow us on Twitter at TheKS Show Radio. We're everywhere.
Your host.
Welcome everyone back to the KS Show here. We just had a great interview with Christopher Everett and his documentary on Wilmington on Fire. Please, please, please stay on top of this. November 10th will be the release of the documentary. It's going to be digital and it's going to be on regular CD. So definitely stay in tune on that. He has a great soundtrack with that also. So if you missed that interview, that's okay. Of course, you can always play this show back later and get all the information. And we're definitely going to be posting that information, social media information that you need for him on TKS Radio, the People's Network, facebook.com/TheKS Show. We're going to be moving forward now. We're going to be talking to Miss Kathleen Hurt or Herod. I think I say it wrong. She's going to correct me. I know when I put her on air here, but she has a great book called Salon Stories. And I only read the first book, the first story, a short stories in there. And I was just amazed. And I can't wait to continue to keep reading because I love reading. That's just my thing. And to know that she has all these different short stories was it's just right in my category there. So without further ado, let's introduce the author of Salon Stories. Hello, Kathleen. How are you?
Hello.
Hi.
I'm well. How are you?
I'm good on this Sunday evening. Just enjoying it. And I'm so happy that you came back after that debacle on Wednesday. I want to send out my apologies to that and hope you forgive me.
Oh, we're good.
So tell me about Salon Stories. Tell me, how did this get started? How did you start these short stories? Because I'm amazed at just the first one. That first one, if that don't knock you off your feet, I don't know what will.
Well, you know what? I started the book. I was a salon. I was a stylist and the co-owner of a salon for about 15 years. And so I kind of wrote that I wanted it to be something that you could probably read while you were in the salon. You could read in your in like your book club, you know, just kind of something to do with great stories. And I didn't want to do like a whole novel. I love writing short stories. And so I just the whole time I was there, I just kept saying, I'm going to write a book. I'm going to write a book of short stories. And so eventually I did.
Yeah, that's awesome. And it's one that first story alone, it keeps your attention. Like I never want anybody who walked up to me while I was reading, I was like, what? Like you are interrupting me.
I promised my readers that they were going to have an experience. Like they were gonna have one of those I can't get my eyes off this book.
Yes.
That's what I wanted to put out there. Yeah. So Tracy,
yes. Tracy
went through, baby.
Yeah. You definitely proved it. So, what did you leave anything out in the final drafts of any of the stories?
What do you mean by that?
you know, like, you know, you're writing a story, like, okay, maybe I could just take this out because that's really not needed. But is it something that you really wanted to keep in the book, but you said, no, I'm going to take it out?
You know, but initially I did have some stories, a couple of stories in the book, and I decided I was going to move them over to the second book because it's a trilogy. So it'll be one Salon Stories 1, 2, and 3. And then there were some stories that I thought I kind of maybe wanted to hold off on just to get you guys kind of warmed up so you can handle probably some different type of, you know, something a little heavier the next time.
Okay. Okay. That's awesome. And so were there any, like, alternate endings that you had in any of the stories? Like, you know, like maybe somebody did something else, but you said, no, like you said, that may be too rough right now. Let me keep it kind of simple.
You know what? My book has been compared to a Zane book. I've been told that it's the Christian clean version of Zane, so to speak, if you will. And I love Zane. It's been a long time since I read one of her books, but I know her writing style. So in some of the stories, like one of them is about racism. And what I like about my stories is after they were reviewed by very large reputable companies who wanted to, I ended up self-publishing, but who wanted to publish my book, they would always ask me, are these stories real? Because you know you can't do that without written consent. And I'm like, no, those stories are not real. They are totally made up. And but the trick to my books is at least one of the stories in the book is a real story about somebody's actual life that I do have permission to write about. So I kind of put that in there as a little fun. So some of them, one of the stories in the book is a real story. I wrote about a variety of subjects. So you're gonna see, you know, real life happening, like, you know, adultery, you know, murder. You never know what you're gonna find in that book.
I can't wait to continue to keep reading because you actually are the first book that I read since I graduated. So everything has all been about, you know, academics, and I'm so tired of it. I don't want to look at another academic book in my life. So I you were the first book that I started reading, and I was like, oh, I can't wait to finish reading this book. Yeah, yeah, oh, just because of that first story. So yeah, yeah, you got me. You got me, girl. What is your favorite story?
Oh, my God. You know what? It's going to be funny. I love the whole the first story. I love it. But the story that I think I love the most is it's going to be the one about racism in the workplace.
Okay.
And, you know, because, you know, after I read it and I went, wow, that's crazy, you know. But I tried to make all the stories, you know, kind of real life too, you know, because I wanted it to be a book. I really wanted it to be a book that women could read, you know, in a group. And then, you know, at the end, I have all of those questions at the end. Well, I'm not trying to lecture you or whatever. I just want us to kind of open our minds up and kind of have a conscious thought about what somebody may be experiencing. Because, you know, on the outside, we all look good. Everybody's marriage looks healthy. Everybody is all happy and smiling. But you never know.
You never know what's going on.
In those four walls, you really never know. So I kind of wanted to put that little spin on it. And hopefully I did that. I do get a lot of people saying I couldn't put it down when I started reading it. And I love that because that's what I wanted to do.
I told you, girl, I had an attitude when people walked up to me. Like, what? Oh, my gosh. Can't you see I'm busy? Yeah, I was. I did. I really had to. I know it's bad to actually admit it, but I can admit it. I was like, ugh, really? That wasn't even important for you to be interrupting me doing this. But, yeah. you give me another one. Give me another story that was your favorite.
I give you a pass since
okay. Are you still there? Can you hear me?
Uh-huh. Can you hear me?
Okay, yeah, there you go. Okay, you're back. Yeah.
Can you hear the clicking?
No, not a clicking. You kind of got an echo, but that's okay.
Are you sure? Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm definitely okay because it's not really bad. I can tell that it's a little bit of an echo, but that's nothing. Your first story. I'm gonna go back to the question I had for you before, though. But your first story, it was without telling it. It was basically about someone who was independent who ended up being dependent on someone else, and in relationships, that's something that we do. We kind of build our lives around that other person, and sometimes to a fault. And
right.
And I was like, okay, this is like so real on so many levels with so many different people that I know plus myself. It's like, if I don't get this book out to people, you know, it's just my close friends. Like, girl, you need to read this because I think you may see something
right
in here. You know, and it's out of love. It's not out of judgment. You know, it's out of love. It's like, just read it. It's not just you. It's not, you know, you're not the only person going through this. And so what I liked was when she said, I started to realize that I wasn't me and I wasn't doing the things that I felt was good for me. I'm paraphrasing, clearly.
Right.
And
right.
But even though she was saying this to herself, she continued the process. She continued to do those things until it was kind of like, oh, I just got hit across my head. Somebody just hit me across my head. And okay, you're there. Okay, I got you. And so I was just like, wow, you know, yeah, this is when you get hit across the head with anything in life, it's like, oh, man, I wish I would have. It's always I wish I should, I could have, if I had thought of type situations. And but to see that it was an empowering story and that it was like, okay, I may fall down, but I'm going to get back up. And I love that. I love that about that. And if this tells, again, if that tells anything about any of the rest of the stories, honey, that you got me. I did also want to know, was there any other story besides the racism in the workplace? Is there another story in there that you like, that's your favorite?
Included, I did a story about, without giving away the story, but I did a story about fallen soldiers. I did a story. One of the stories is about a mother who experienced the loss of her child, but it's really not about the loss of the child. I'm getting bad feedback. Hold on a second.
Okay.
It's really not about the loss of her child. It's more about her family. After all that she's gone through, I don't want to tell the story, but I have to tell a little bit just to get you engaged.
Okay.
Here. So here she is, you know, she has a family. It's her, a husband, a daughter, and a son. And she finds herself in a situation where her daughter has gotten involved with this guy who is basically a psycho, a stalker. And you know, I know a lot of things, just like the story you were talking about previously, that's real life. Going back to that for just a second, it's real life to meet someone and you're doing great, you're independent, you may be in the corporate arena, you could be a teacher, whatever, but your life is already good. And then you meet someone and you sacrifice so much in a relationship. Not that you walk in the door saying, I'm going to sacrifice everything I have to be with this person. That's just how marriage goes. When you marry someone, you have to make little, you know, sometimes small, sometimes big sacrifices. And, you know, marriage is that snowball. So it's not a checker game where you can pick up a piece here and there. It's really a snowball. And as it grows, sometimes you find out, wait a minute, I'm kind of in something that I don't want to be in, but you just can't jump out, you know. And so it makes it real life that she's stuck. She's kind of in a situation where, you know, she has to kind of get, you know, it's going to come to a breaking point at some time, just like that big snowball when it gets to the end of the mountain and crashes. But until you can get out of it, you're in it. In this other story that I'm speaking about called Pleasure Island, here's a woman. She suffered the loss of a son. They moved on. Her husband accepted a different job at a different location. And you're like, hey, my life is good, you know. And life can be that way. Your life can be good. And then someone from the outside can come in and just cause all kinds of torment, you know.
Yeah.
And I really brought that story up because I wanted to bring some attention to people as well of understanding who your daughter's dating, having that conversation with your child about who are you dating, who is this guy, how is he treating you.
Yeah.
And so because I wanted these stories to not only be relatable, but I also wanted them to be big communication pieces, you know, where you really can have a discussion about life. Because in real life, you know, domestic violence does happen. You have people who are stalkers. You know, sometimes your daughter, you know, I know a young lady who, you know, I didn't know it, but my own daughter dated a guy for a minute. I thought he was a good guy. I thought the dude was great. And then one day she called me and just spilled the beans, and I'm like, are you serious? And I'm like, why did you break up with him? I thought he was so good and this and that. She was like, Mom, let me tell you. So I really wanted to bring some attention, some real truth to let's have these conversations. So I really wanted to catch your attention with the story and really take you on a story and make you feel like it was real life, yet be able to relate to it and have an open discussion about it, if that makes any sense.
Oh, that makes perfect sense. Definitely. I like the fact that it's not just about the stories, it's about real life. And that's a true story in itself. You know, sometimes though, as you being a mother, I know, you know, because my mom used to be like, I never liked that guy, but I had to let you, I had to let you find out, you know? And I'm like, well, yeah, I guess you're right, because me being the age I am now, she's right. I probably would have just kept going with him and being with him just because she didn't like him. So, talking about moms knowing.
Right.
Yeah.
But and that's the reason why I wrote the stories, because I kind of want us to have these discussions or conversations about life and real things that can really happen.
Mm-hmm.
Before they, you know, as they're reaching dating age, as they're beginning to date, you know what I mean? Because like you said, after, and I know for myself, after you start dating a guy and he got your eyes all wide open and got you thinking you cute. Hey, even as grown women, you get involved with a guy and he, you know, hey, things have, you've turned a couple of corners, so to speak. It's kind of hard to back away from that, you know?
Yeah.
And so if you have these conversations beforehand, kind of prepare them for life, kind of just get them some real life story. I thought this would be a good book to kind of sit down and read a story and be like, wow, let's have a discussion about that. What would happen? What do you think? And, you know, I thought that would be cool. So that's why I kind of wrote it in that fashion.
I love it. I love it. So what are your ambitions about your writing career?
As far as my writing career goes, I love to empower women. As you know, I have my page called FES, Female Entrepreneurs Determined to Succeed. I love to talk about the importance of family. I always say we need a strong black family. We need just strong families as a whole. I wrote the other book, the body book, A Lesson About Inappropriate Behavior. You know, 80% of victims are those who come from absent parent or fatherless homes. So families are very important. So in the future, I will probably be writing more, of course, about family. And I'm the type, I just don't want to write stories just so you can read a story and fill in some space. I kind of want you to develop a conscious mind towards life,
mm-hmm.
and really, Yeah, and really kind of have those discussions, or at least, you know, give yourself a moment when you're reading it that it'll give you pause to kind of just think about it, you know,
okay,
how you can apply it to life. So in the future, I definitely plan to write more about the importance of family and things of that nature, and things to uplift women and to get us to a point where we can just have discussions about real life.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. And so what's next for you? Are you working on anything now?
Oh, you know what? I'm working on the second edition. I want it out by Christmas, the ebook. The first book I'm going to do, you can order a paperback book now. If you go to my page, Salon Series on Facebook, you can order the book from there, the paperback book or the ebook. From my Facebook page, Salon Stories. What I'm going to do is I'm already working on the second Salon Stories because the first one was well liked and it did pretty good. It's doing pretty good. So I'll be working on the second edition of that book, but it'll only be available as an ebook. It will not be available as paperback. It'll probably be available as paperback the following year. Around Christmas time. I should be able to produce volume 2. I've already been working on the stories and all of that. So, yeah, you can look for volume 2 for Salon Stories. And I guess that's all I kind of want to keep it in. I just want to talk about the long stories.
Okay, I understand. I definitely understand that. So what writers inspire you?
What writers inspire me?
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is going to be kind of weird, but I really like suspense stories. So,
okay.
I like suspense. I can't say that I have like a favorite author right now.
Okay.
I am, you know, I just like suspense. So, whatever it is that's suspenseful, I'll pretty much kind of pick it up and read it. But now I'm kind of, I don't like to read the long books anymore. So if it's got about 200 pages or something like that, I'll pick it up.
Okay.
It's like 300 pages. I'm pretty much not going to read it. But I don't have like a favorite author.
Okay. All right. So I know I hope I didn't miss anything, but if I did, is there anything else that you would like to include that I haven't brought up?
You know what? Just look for that second edition. You can purchase the first edition paperback or ebook. And I'm so glad and grateful. I'm just thankful for all the support from my Facebook followers, Instagram, Twitter, which you can find me on any of those. What is that? Snapchat, even.
Yeah, I know, right? I'm trying to get used to that too.
Periscope, I'm all over the place. But I do want to say thank you. Yeah, definitely. Thank you for allowing me, giving me this space on your show. That's number one. And thank everyone who's already purchased the book, who's going to purchase it. And I just look forward to doing some other things, other things.
Okay. Although, but don't go anywhere because I want to make sure we get everybody on the same page. Where can we find your book? And it's out, right? Like Salon Stories, the first one right now is already out and people's already purchasing it. Where are they purchasing it at?
Salon Stories is out, and you can find it at Amazon, on Amazon.com. Okay. And so, go to my Facebook page, the cover looks like it's a beautiful cover.
It is.
Very intriguing. Yeah, I love the cover. You guys did a great job. But you can find it at Amazon.com is where you can go. And they even have a sneak peek on Amazon. So if you want to kind of read a little bit of it to see if it's your fit, you can. But you definitely can go to Amazon.com for the ebook version. Again, if you want the paperback version, you have to go to my page, Salon Stories on Facebook, and just click the Shop Now button, and you can purchase the paperback.
Awesome. That's awesome. Okay, so Salon Stories on Facebook.com or Amazon.com for the digital version, for the Kindle version.
For the Kindle version, yes, you can download it. But you can download it on your Apple phone, on your tablet, whatever device you have, you can download it.
Got it. Okay. All right. Yeah. Thank you so much for joining me tonight. Good luck on your future endeavors. And of course, I'm a big fan regardless of what you're doing. but I just, anything else you got, you're coming back on and you're going to let us know about that also. So you just let me know.
Yes, ma'am, indeed. Thank you so much. Thank you, audience. Thank you, fans and followers. Love you guys.
Thank you for joining us. Everyone, please put your hands together for Ms. Kathleen and her salon stores. You got to get this book. You got to Amazon.com or Facebook.com/salon stories. You got to get this book. It's just life adventures of anything or everything. It's fit for everybody. If you haven't went through, you know somebody who has. So you definitely got to get this book. And please look out for part two of Salon Stories. And now I'm definitely waiting. And I'm not even done with the first part. So it's going to be part of my series on my bookcase, definitely. Thank you so much. Big hugs. And I will be talking to you, of course, later.
All right. You have a good day. Thank you.
You too. You too. Okay, everybody. This is your girl, Sun Smile. And we had two of the best interviews today. If you missed it, that's okay, because you can always download this interview, or you can just listen to it at work, or you know, on the go. We are everywhere you are. Just push play on blogtalkradio.com/TKS radio. We're going to play a song, and I want to let you know you can find us on facebook.com/TKS radio. You can go to the TKS Radio page, which is the same thing. You can find us on Instagram underneath TKS Radio, and you can also find us on Twitter under the KS Show and or TKS Radio. So we, again, are everywhere you are. Thanks for joining us tonight. Thanks for supporting your girl Sun Smile and Nicole, and we are just happy to be back on the air after a few years and having the people listen to us and support us. Thank you. We, of course, are using live Facebook Live and on the page, and I'm going to also be using it on my personal page, so you can find me there also. We're just trying to get all the little things in here and there, anywhere that we can support us. If you know something that we don't know, let us know so we can make sure we get it on the show. So, again, you can call us at 619-924-0814 any day, every Wednesday. This is a special show today. So, again, we're on every Wednesday at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, talking about all the topics that you want to talk about. So I'm going to lead us out with a song here by Malia featuring Music Soul Child while I go to the Chrisette Michelle concert. So I'll holler at y'all later. Thank you.